Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. It's my pleasure as always. And we got some really good stuff for you straight ahead because Terry Neese is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. You know who Terry is. She's a longtime friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the president and CEO of Women Impacting Public Policy. And I think that may be, I think she may have a new title. We'll have to ask her about that. But she's one of the folks, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm proud to tell you about because she's out there every day working in the public policy arena, in that environment, trying to make things better for small business owners, men and women. But she focuses most of her work on women, but men benefit. Everything she does for women, men benefit from it. And I don't know anybody who works harder. She's our good friend. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. Good to see you and hear from you and enjoy talking to you always.
It's always a good pleasure to have you here. Now, I don't think I had your title correct these days.
Actually it's President and CEO of Women Impacting Public Policy Institute.
Institute. I didn't have the last thing. I knew there was something missing there. So let me write that down. Anyway, it's good to have you here. One of the things that I know you want to talk about first is just how women are doing out there in the marketplace. You've been studying this landscape for a long time, and I want you to tell us about how women are doing, how you think they're doing in general in the marketplace, and then we'll focus on one area in particular that I know you've been working on. What do you think?
Well, I think that women business owners have definitely arrived. But we're not finished. We have a long way to go. And I think men and women business owners are very interested in a number of issues, healthcare issues, taxes, certainly being able to do business with the federal government, which is a real issue for women business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the economy seems to be booming almost everywhere I go. Business is great. And so I think to most degree, all small businesses are really doing terrific right now. The economy is just great.
Aren't we, you know, Terry, you and I have been around, let me rephrase it. Let me just say that this is not my or your first rodeo, right?
We've been around a little while.
We've had a couple of rodeos, and so
Jim, I started when I was seven.
I know that, and I tell people that all the time. But the thing is, you and I remember when the biggest challenge small business owners have had was getting business or
yes.
getting access to capital or being taken seriously by larger companies.
Yes.
Well, guess what, folks? Those things aren't a problem anymore. If you want business, if you want to do business, you can get business. You can grow your business in the United States. If you want capital, if you're a grasshopper in business these days, you can get capital somehow. And the other issues are the larger companies are taking us seriously. They're doing business with us. So aren't we really, though, now, Terry, aren't we kind of dealing with some of the marginal issues? I mean, I know they're important, but shouldn't we stop for a moment and say, you know what? We've come a long way.
No, we really should.
And I don't just mean women. I mean men and women.
No,
small business
that's
owners.
True. Somebody said to me the other day, you may not have this little piece of information, but last week I was inducted into the Oklahoma Women's Hall of Fame.
I'm glad you reminded me of that. I heard about that, and forgive me for not congratulating you.
No, that's okay. But I'm glad you said that. At that induction, someone said to me, you know, do we really need an advocate for women business owners now? I mean, haven't we arrived? And as I said to them, absolutely we have. But we're not finished. And I don't think we are finished until we have equal voice at every economic, social, and political table.
One of the reasons why I think that women continue to need advocates is because as much progress as women have made, women still, and you and I have talked about this, and every other women expert that I know that have been, has been on my show has talked about this with me and, and agrees with me about this. Women have so much to offer, so much more than they really realize that they have. No, and, and I think women continue to need people to remind them how much they actually have to offer.
No, I agree. I mean, we just did bring a different perspective to the table. And, you know, I love men, love my husband. But, you know, I just think different from him. And I go after business different than he does. And so, and it's a good thing.
I'm laughing because this is a conversation that's frequently in my house. Yeah. Terry Neese, ladies and gentlemen, recently inductee to the Oklahoma Business Hall of Fame. Only the best for my audience, ladies and gentlemen. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
After you've had it.
Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Terry Neese, the president and CEO of Women Impacting Public Policy Institute. She's actually a founder of Women Impacting Public Policy. And Terry, tell us about WIP, please.
Women Impacting Public Policy is a national bipartisan membership association. We have almost 600,000 members, and we have 47 women's business associations under our umbrella. And we believe in advocating strictly for women business owners and women in business, and we are your voice in our nation's capital.
And just because you belong to another women's business organization, women public policy organization, that probably means that you are a part of WIP,
That's right.
And the good thing about WIP is you guys cut across all the party lines, don't you?
We do. We do. I mean, and what's so beautiful about that is with the upcoming election, the presidential election, which is off to a roaring start, you know, we'll have women involved in all the campaigns. I think there's 17 of them. And so... what we believe is important is that you get involved in that process,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that we have a voice at every one of those tables. That's what's important.
Well, I tell people that you either can get involved, small business owners can either get involved in the public policy debate that affects them and try to influence the outcome for your own small business, or be willing to take what is given to you by the policymakers who, since they haven't heard from you, can assume that you don't care.
No, that's right. I say if you run a business and you're not involved in politics, then politics will run your business.
That's exactly right. And I'm glad you're out there advocating for businesses, but especially for small business. And I know that you care about all businesses, but I mean, I say especially for women businesses. So the reason I said what I did a minute ago, Terry, is because I like for small business owners to realize that if they are not happy with where they are and they want to reach a new level, that's good. That's a good thing. It's always good to want to get better and to grow. But I also think that it's important not to be down on yourself if you're not where you want to be, because it's pretty cool to be able to be in a position to reach to think you can reach the next level. So don't beat yourself up too much. Be glad for where you are. I'm playing the Pollyanna glad game here, Terry. But to be proud of yourself for where you are, the success you've accomplished. But then take those things that are out there that still are left to be done, and focus on them. And one of those things for you guys, Terry, for women business owners now, is this government contract issue. You've discovered some disturbing information, haven't you?
It's very disturbing. But you know, and first of all, we just recently finished a survey of our WIP members.
And How many WIP members are there?
Almost 600,000.
Wow.
Well, 78% of the respondents of this survey are not federal government contractors. And only 9% of them hold a General Services Administration schedule to do contracting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Does that mean that they're, is that the same thing as they're certified?
No, well, you can get a certification under General Services Administration. That's a federal government certification that allows GSA to help you market yourself, although it's really all about you. You've got to go market yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But allows GSA to get you in the system so you can then do a lot of research and detail work to determine how to go after those contracts.
It allows you to come to the – you get invited to the party.
That's right.
Whether you have any fun or not is up to you.
That is right. And it's tough to get GSA certified, primarily because it just takes a lot of time. And small business owners are – they're running their businesses. They just don't have the time to step back and do all this paperwork and take the time to do it. So,
but also, Terry, a lot of small businesses really aren't in the business. I mean, the business that they're in isn't – conducive, it doesn't lend itself to doing business with the
government. That's true. I mean, the first thing you have to decide is, do I even want to get into this tank and start swimming around with these people and determine if I really want to do federal government contracting?
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do, you really need to make sure you're working with the right folks and that you're doing the right things. It can be very costly to get GSA certified. I mean, I've heard some business owners that have paid $30,000.
Wow.
To get GSA certified.
And once you get there, don't you really almost have to live in that environment? I mean, that's almost not a part-time thing, is it?
No, it really is very time-consuming. You do have to spend a lot of time researching what bids to go after. Do you have the resources to go after them? Could you possibly hook up with a prime contractor and go after the bid? And if so, how does all that work? I mean, it's complicated.
But the women that I know who are doing it are very happy with it and very successful.
Yes. I mean, you know, you can build your business into a multi-million dollar firm quickly. And by the way, that can be a problem. You can build so fast that if you don't have the right infrastructure in place, it could be devastating to your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Terry, hold on to that thought. Folks, when we come back, there's one of the issues that prevents women from, and small businesses really, from getting some of these government contracts is this concept of bundling that was supposed to have been fixed with a law previously. I'm going to get Terry to ask us if that's something that has actually been accomplished or if it's still a problem. It's 10 Till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Terry Neese, the president of and CEO of Women Impacting Public Policy Institute. That's the Institute of WIP, Women Impacting Public Policy. And that's now the WIP website is WIP.org, right, Terry?
That's right.
And the Institute is found there in that website?
That's right.
Okay.
Over on the right-hand side. Or if you want to just go directly to the Institute, it's WIP.org/institute.
All right. Check that out, folks. It's, especially if you're a lady, I really encourage you to associate yourself with some women's organization that is promoting business, women business owners. I think it's a great thing to do. There's NABO, National Association of Women Business Owners.
Correct.
There are a bunch of others, 40, 50 others, maybe more. And so, folks, find one of those that you can be comfortable with, and then find out when you join one of those, ask them if they're associated with WIP. If they're not, you might want to go somewhere else.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Jim.
Well, you've trained me well, Terry. Hey, Terry, the bundling thing, folks. There was a situation that went on with big companies when there were set asides, when there were mandates for small business owners and for minorities and women business owners, different set asides, so to speak. There were some big companies would do something called bundling. Terry, you want to explain bundling for us?
Yeah, actually, what bundling is the practice of combining two or more contracts into a large single agreement. Although, there was a presidential initiative in 2002 that called for unbundling of those federal contracts.
Consequence of bundling was to foreclose a lot of small businesses from having access to contracts.
That's right. It's pretty difficult to apply for one of those billion-dollar contracts when you're
right.
a small business.
Exactly. And so the big companies were kind of rooting out the average, you know, a small business owner that they didn't know or wasn't part of under their umbrella. But the unbundling law in 2002 was supposed to fix all that. Did it fix it? And do people understand that, Terry?
No, it did not fix it. And interestingly enough, in 2004, there was a Government Accounting Office report, and it showed that federal agencies were confused over what constitutes contract bundling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, perhaps it is in our best interest to make sure that the government functions the way it's supposed to function. And someone who can really help make sure that happen are our senators, our two United States senators in each of our states. And I have to say that Senator Coburn from Oklahoma he makes sure, if he finds out things like this and that big businesses are getting the contracts that small businesses are supposed to get, and they're being lumped in as a small business. Senator Coburn will be right in the middle of that to make sure that they stop that.
Yep.
So, and it's incumbent on us, I think, as private citizens, to call this information to the attention of our senators. They're busy people. They don't know what's going on a lot of times in these different agencies, and so it's really important that we let our senators know so they can take to task people in these agencies.
What does it sound like if we're trying to bid on some federal business, and this may be happening in the state contracts as well, Terry? What would it smell like if we saw a situation that was a case of bundling?
For example, you know, we'd have someone like Northrop Grumman receive a small business set-aside contract.
And you're just using them as an example.
Not
that they've done anything. We're just using their name. Okay.
Absolutely. And I'm sure they haven't done anything. But they're a huge firm. Obviously, they do a lot of GSA contracting. But let's just suppose that they received a set-aside that was a small business set-aside.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we'd want to question, why did that happen? Wasn't there someone else out there in small business that could have bid on that contract and received that contract and done quality work? Certainly, there are times that there are small business owners that just don't have the resources to do that particular set-aside contract. But let's turn every stone over to try to make that happen before we go to a big business.
For men and for women. Terry, I've got to wrap it up. Who's going to win? Who's going to be the nominee for the Republicans?
Well, on the presidential side, I'm on Rudy Giuliani's team.
Yeah? You're a volunteer for him, aren't you?
I'm volunteer for him.
Who's going to be the nominee on the Democrat side?
I think it'll be Hillary.
Really?
You think it's going to be
Rudy and Hill, huh?
Rudy and Hill. So mark that down. Let's see. Whatever today is,
yep.
April 6th or whatever.
Yep.
That's where
Terry.
We are. We'll see what happens.
Thanks, Terry. Got to go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.